asked those guys if they had an offering song. They said they didn't plan on one. Free service. Free service. So, you know, we won't be receiving an offering tonight. It'll be all right. God takes care of it. Amen. Amen. God is good. We're talking in Galatians, and we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. All right, as I read that list, how are you doing on that list? In love category, joy, peace, long-suffering, how you doing on that? Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So you can go ahead and be seated so I can beat you up. Man, what a list, right? The song that we sang as kids, He's Still Working on Me. Ain't you glad? Ain't you so glad He's still working on you? if you put your name in front of these, can you say whatever your name is? I'll use Johnny since he's right there. Johnny, can you say, Johnny is meek? Can you say, Johnny has temperance? Can you say, Johnny has love? Johnny has joy? Johnny has peace? Johnny has goodness and faith and long-suffering? And that's a good list. That's a good list. How do you do that? First of all, we're going to start out with love. We're going to start with the first fruit that is listed is love. I know that all the others come out of this one, because if you don't have love, you're not saved. And that's not me talking, that's the Bible talking. He that loveth not knoweth not God, because God is love. God is love. Now, we confuse love sometimes. Doug has taught us that we use it too loosely. We say, how many of you, have you ever said this? Man, I love that ice cream. That's weird. But we say it. We say it. I love that ice cream. Because, man, I really love this place. I love my new car. I love, we use it a lot, don't we? And really, when you say you love something, and if you really do love something, it should mean more than ice cream. And some of y'all are sitting there looking at me and saying, no, you don't even know. You have no idea how much I love it. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. Here's the problem with fruit. Fruit has to be cultivated. Amen? To have good fruit, you have to cultivate it. I know they're like, boy, them wild grapes grow up on the hill. I promise you, those wild grapes are not as good as the cultivated kind that tastes like cotton candy. Have you ever tried those grapes that they make taste like cotton candy? Raise your hand. That's amazing. I appreciate them cultivating that in that manner. Amen? Amen. They cultivated it. So when you're dealing with you and love, He commands us to love our neighbor as ourself. Is that a commandment? All right. Do you read in the Bible anywhere where God commands us to eat? No. Does anybody command you to eat on a daily basis? No. How many people eat on a daily basis? How many people center their whole life around what they're going to eat that day? Raise your hand. I mean, lunch is awesome, right? You center because nobody commands you to eat. Because the reason they don't command you to eat is because it's something you're going to do naturally. So God commands us to love our neighbor. He commands us to do so because sometimes it's not something that we're going to do naturally. Amen. Some people are difficult to love. Some people, you pour out your heart to them and you try your best to love them, and they don't love you back. A man told me a story one time, and he really loved his. I got to be careful not to give away who these people are, but this is a good story. He really loved this man. This man was influential in his life, and he really did love him. And the guy owned a business, and his business was doing good. So he decided that he was going to buy this man a vehicle. And so he buys him a brand new Blazer, brand new. And he's so excited to give it to him because he just loved him. And to buy somebody a vehicle, you gotta like them, right? At least a little bit. The only person I think I've ever bought a vehicle for is my wife. I love her. And I'm not buying you one, Brandon or Johnny. I'm never going to buy you a vehicle, but I still love you. But anyway, point is, you got to really love somebody. He takes him out, and he shows him the vehicle. It's his. It's paid for. It's yours, man. Here's the keys. And the guy looks at it, and he says, yeah, I believe so-and-so's got the one a little bit better than that one. And that's all he got. That was the extent of what he got. And this guy was crying. He was so excited to give it to him. Yeah, that really ain't all that. You know, sometimes you pour out love and it don't come back. You ever been there? You ever tried to love somebody and they didn't love you back? Hey, let me tell you something about love. Love will go a long time without giving up, even when it's not given back in return. The Bible says love never fails. Love never fails. Love never fails. But we got this misconception of love, all right? You got to cultivate it. That means you got to work on you. And it can be, I know it's given to you by the Spirit, but when the Spirit does something for us, Brother Owens, and he puts stuff in us, we've got to crucify our flesh and allow it to work. I know some people that loved me, and they were grouchy. Anybody? You knew they loved you. It was real love. It was genuine love. They were just hate. They were just grouchy people. I won't say hateful. I'll say grouchy. They were just grouchy people. Just grouchy people. But I knew they loved me. I knew they loved me. So sometimes there's been some really nice people to me, and they didn't love me. So is love always smiling and nice? Not always. Because Jesus, just as much as he loved the woman caught in adultery, he also loved the Pharisees. Did he not? But notice how he treated them. He treated them a little bit different. Can you say amen? They catch this woman in adultery. They take her out to stone her. And the law said, stone her. Jesus is writing in the sand. They say, hey, you know, the law says, what do you say? And Jesus looks up at him and says, you without sin, cast the first stone. Watch how he... Now, he didn't talk to her like that. He talked to her. He said, go thy way. He said, where's your accusers? They all left. I'm convinced, I know some people, that if they would have been standing in that crowd, she would have gotten nailed. If Jesus would have looked at them and said, you without sin, cast the first stone, they'd have slung one at her. But all those people understood that they were fallen. Now, Jesus was very gentle to her, was he not? And love can be gentle. But love can also look and say, oh, you generation of vipers, and still be love. Because the end goal is the condition of your soul. Amen. And sometimes, how can I say this without... Brother Eddie, I think sometimes we're so nice to people that we're just going to love them right into hell. Because we're never going to get to the place where we say, I love you enough to tell you this. I love you enough to tell you that what you're doing is going to send you to hell. And you're going down the road, this is how much I love you. Because love never fails. Love will come through. Now, where do you get this love? It is a fruit of the Spirit. You cannot love like God without God dwelling in you. You can't have the fruit of the Spirit without the Spirit. Amen? You can fake love. You can fake kindness. Oh, we all do it from time to time, don't we? Somebody comes up to us and they're not our favorite person. And they're like, hey, how you doing? Oh, good, good. And they turn around and you're like, ugh. No, none of y'all done that because y'all, yeah. We do that. We can fake it, can't we? But this kind of love you can't fake. Because this kind of love never gives up. This is the kind of love that we see at Calvary. I got to be careful not to preach because I'm going to try to teach you. But this is the kind of love that we see at Calvary. Sister Sandy, when they're crucifying, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What we would be quoting was, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and he's going to get y'all. But that's not what he prayed. He said, Father, forgive them. Why? Because that's the kind of love that Jesus had. Now, what kind of love should we have? We should have the same love. The problem is we got flesh, and our flesh gets in the way sometimes. Amen. So we got to cultivate it. We got to work on it. We got to plow deep sometimes. And we got to get that fallow ground cut up and get ready to receive the things of God. So I want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we know that is the love chapter in the Bible. And I want to talk about this for just a few minutes. I'm probably going to let you go early. All right. How many people think the gifts ought to be operating in the church? Raise your hand so I can see you. You believe the Bible bears out that all the gifts should be operating in the church today. Because the doctrine of cessation tells us that once Scripture was fulfilled and there was an amen at the end of Revelation, that we have the full canon of Scripture. And the Bible says when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with. So they say now that we have the Bible and the Bible is complete, then we no longer need the gifts working in the church because we have Scripture. The problem with that is when the writer in Hebrews said, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with, they did not have a clue that we would ever have a Bible. And nowhere in the Bible does the Bible prophesy the Bible. Amen? Read all through there, and it doesn't ever prophesy that there was going to be this book. It said, lo, I come in a volume of a book, but it also said all the books that were written couldn't contain them. Amen? So, what was he talking about? He was talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. The first coming has came. Now we're waiting on the second coming, and I want to tell you this. Until Jesus comes back, we ought to have the gifts operating in the church. All of them. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, that's an amazing, amazing gift to be able to communicate with men and angels. I've asked you this before, but I got to ask you again because we're on it. What language do they speak in heaven? I remember this poor fella one time. He was just talking about Jesus and the King James Bible and the interpretation. And I started getting this idea, and I finally looked at him and said, man, you do know that Jesus didn't speak English, right? He said, huh? I was like, okay, yeah, we're. What language did God use when he said, let there be light? Because God knows all language, right? But there's got to be a language of heaven. There has to be a language because Paul said, I speak with the tongues of angels. And I know what you're thinking, angels can understand English. But he said he spoke in their language. He spoke in the tongues of men and angels. Man, that is awesome. That means that Paul could say things in an angelic language that angels understood what he was saying and could take care of things. That's power, people. That's a gift. He said, though I can do that. And how, listen, I don't know about you, but I think it'd be pretty cool to have an angel that I could just talk to and tell him to do some stuff. Some of y'all, I'm glad you don't have that power, because there'd be dead people everywhere. Somebody pull out in front of you, oh, Gabriel, you know, whatever language you would tell him that in. He says, I've got this gift, and it's an amazing gift. But he says, if I don't have love, if I don't have charity, he said, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying, even though I can do this, if I don't have love, he said, I'm just making noise. All I am is a bunch of noise. If the beginning of it isn't love, if what we do isn't motivated out of love, then we're motivated for the wrong reason. Sometimes we are motivated out of pride and not love, and we call it love, but it's our pride, and we get in trouble. Because some things we do just to save face, we don't do it out of love. We do it out of pride. We do it out of self-preservation. We do it for all kinds of different reasons. But he said, if I don't have love, even though I can do this, it's nothing but noise. So, love is a verb. You agree? Love is something you do. But can you do something? Can you do an act of love and not have love? Yes. You can do an act of love for somebody and still not love them. I'm going to prove it. Watch this. Keep going. Next verse. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery. This is a killer list, by the way. I mean, this Paul, he said, I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. That's pretty impressive. That's why he was given a thorn in the flesh, so that he wouldn't be exalted above measure, right? That's why he had the thorn in the flesh. He said, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains. And I'm going to get back to y'all on this, because I didn't have time to study this, but I'm trying to figure out if it's just a mustard seed that moves a mountain or all faith that moves a mountain. There's something to that right there. You see it? Though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, what's he say? I am nothing. I am nothing. Let me get back to the root of the problem. If we don't have love, that means we don't have the Spirit. Because God's Spirit is a spirit of love, right? The Holy Ghost is shed abroad. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen? So if we got the Spirit of God, we got the Spirit of love. Amen. So if we got the Spirit of love, then we're something. But if we don't have this love, the Bible says we are nothing. I do not care how well you do in this life. If you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in you and the love of God flowing through you, then it is absolutely nothing. Paul said, I count it all as loss. If we understand how important it is to have God's Spirit, and I don't care if you live on the backside of a mountain in a dirt floor cabin. If you got the love of God dwelling in you, everything is going to be all right in the end. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. But you got to cultivate this. You got to allow it. And you got to work on you. See, Thomas, I had it all mixed up. When I first started going to church, they told me about fasting. And I thought the way fasting worked was, the longer I could go, the more God owed me. Oh, none of y'all was on that works mentality, was you? I mean, if I'm not going to eat for days, the longer I go, the more he owes. But what I realized was, finally, that's not how fasting works. So why do it? I had people tell me, they'd say, I ain't never seen nothing a 3-day fast can't fix. I have. I have. I've seen things an 8-day fast can't fix. I'm like, God, pay up. When's the due date, man? Come on. The invoice is out there. I'm hungry. But what I learned was this. It's not if I can go so long, then the prizes get bigger. Am I the only one that thought like that? Like the thought that because I was doing this, then because I was sacrificing and because I was just laying it down, that God was going to honor that. That's not what fasting does at all. You know what fasting does? It crucifies your flesh and gets it in a position to where it can believe the promises of God. Do you get that? Because you know what gets in our way is our flesh. Let me tell you what happens after you don't eat for 4 or 5 days. You don't care if people say mean stuff to you. You're too tired to fight. Do you know what I'm saying? You ever been there? You ever fasted for days and then went to work and somebody said something and you're just like, you're lucky I'm dying here. What it does is it, well, let me tell you what you're doing. You're cultivating you. You're tearing some stuff down so some things can be planted. You just don't go in the field and start planting stuff in it. You got to get some things out of the way. The Bible tells us to purge ourselves. There's some things in us that we know we can get rid of. And then we don't get rid of them, then we wonder why God ain't working. Ooh, that's good. That's tweetable right there. What I'm saying is we wonder, why ain't God working? God's saying, here's what I've asked you to do. Do it. We don't do it. And it was like, I don't know what in the world's wrong with God now. It's not God. He said, I won't withhold any good thing from you. You just got to get yourself in a position to believe the promises of God. And the best way to do that is get you out of the way and say, God, I agree with you. This ain't about me anyway. It's all about him. Jesus at the center of it all. Amen. Amen. Hurry. I got to hurry. Not only do you cultivate it, but you protect it. Is tomato a fruit? So, is a tomato a fruit? That's what you heard. Where'd you hear that? Food line? He's over in the fruit section. And go put that fruit up. These are tomatoes. These ain't fruits. I always thought it was a vegetable. It ain't. It's a fruit. Mm-mm. Sorry, Mona. At least Mona learned something tonight. Let me tell you what you do with a tomato. You keep it up off the ground. You stake it. You tie stuff to it. You protect it. You put Blue Dragon on it. At least that's what we used to use. And you protect it from blight. And you protect, that's what you got to do with fruit. Because the thing about fruit is, man, it bruises. And you know, it seems like that gnats like fruit. Especially when it starts going bad. When it starts going bad, things start flying around and that you don't want around. So you got to take care of it. What are you saying? I'm saying, not only do you cultivate this love, but you got to protect it. The devil's going to come to his... at you trying his best to make you hate. The devil will make it make sense for you to hate your spouse. And you're like, no, I'm telling you, I'm. What? The devil, how does the devil do that? If you're not careful, I know some people. Thomas is in trouble. He said amen way too loud. I know some people that the devil's tricked them into hating themselves. And they start abusing themselves and hurting themselves. That's the enemy, people. That's not the love of God. So what do you do? Once I get this love, I've got to cultivate it and I've got to protect it. I got to watch out for it because something's going to come in and try to take it. Amen. The problem is it's a fruit of the Spirit. And if the Spirit abides in me, it's going to keep putting it out until it takes hold and gets what he wants done. Amen. I hope this is making sense. These gifts that we talk about are nothing at all if we're not possessed by love. If you had the gift of healing, would you broadcast it? Because let me tell you what's going to happen if you broadcast it. People's going to know, and you ain't never going to sleep. Brother Eddie McKinney, he's got the gift of healing. Oh, my baby's sick. Don't take it to Raleigh General. Take it to Eddie. It's 2 in the morning. Don't care. Go get him. Eddie, go away. The night is far spent. That sounded so biblical, didn't it? What? Let me tell you what would happen if we had the gift. One, we'd keep it on the down low. We'd heal all our family. And your family could just... Ain't that what we do, though? Ain't that what we do? Ain't we like that? Y'all looking at me like, ain't, but we are. We say, God bless America. God bless America. What about all the other nations, people? How many people in here have ever said, God bless Argentina? Have you ever said that? No, but what do you want God to bless? God bless China. Anybody? Anybody prayed that ever lately? Anybody? God bless Ukraine. Hey, you probably have prayed that, right? Because I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a lot of Christians in Ukraine. It's like the Bible Belt of Europe. Now you'll pray for them, won't you? But why is it like that? Because we get self-centered. That's not what love does. Amen. Are y'all bored yet? We done? Should I quit? All right. He says, I'm nothing. Next verse, Brother Shane. I think I'm stopping at this one. Maybe. Here we go. Can you do an act of love and not be motivated by love? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. That statement has haunted me for years. I would think, maybe not the burn thing, but if you took a bullet for somebody, how awesome would that be? I mean, surely you loved them if you was given your body to be destroyed for them. Wouldn't that mean you loved them? Not necessarily. He said, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, you sell everything you got. I promise, if you sell everything you got and take it down and give it to the homeless shelter, I'm going to think, man, something has really got into that guy. Like, what love? What love? But that's not it either. As a matter of fact, you know what Jesus said? The poor you'll have with you always. Did that bother anybody when he said that? Kind of bothered me. Because that's not what I heard preached on TBN. Once you get saved, it's money, money, money. And blessings and blessings. And Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always. You know what else he said? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath God not chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs to the kingdom? Whew. So if you're poor, you're in good company. Jesus was poor too. He says, though I give this, he said, and I don't have charity. He said, I'm nothing. Because I'm going to tell you what, some people do it so other people look at them and they do it out of pride. Y'all know how I feel about it. It's disgusting. I'm going to go out and do good deeds for somebody. I'm with such and such church. These are my t-shirts. So, hashtag feed the poor. Hashtag puke. Why are you posting what you're doing for Jesus to the world? Because you know what you get when you hashtag feed the poor? You get your reward right there. And I'm going to tell you, that ain't motivated out of love. Jesus would lay hands on people and say, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Don't do it to anybody. No, not us. We're like that. Oh, I gave my body. Well, yeah, I don't guess you could testify to giving your body to be burned, but you could testify about selling all your stuff and giving it to the poor. Here's what I did. No, let me tell you what love does. Love does it in a way that God gets the glory, not us. This ain't about us. This ain't about us getting lifted up. It's about Him being lifted up. So I tell you what's really awesome is when you give somebody something and you know they can't give it to you in return and you don't even put your name on it anyway, you just let them know, hey, God loves you and He wanted to give you this. He used me as His vessel and that's all I am. All I am is the vessel of God, because I got the Spirit of God dwelling in me, and I want to let my light shine in a way that they see Him and glorify Him and not me. Such a wonderful philanthropist. Did I say that right? Thank you. Is that why you're doing it for? So that we can clap for you? Why do we do what we do? What's your motivation? He said, love is the first fruit mentioned. It's the first fruit mentioned. And if you don't love your brother who you have seen, how can you love God who you haven't seen? The devil's got people thinking that they can go to heaven and be prejudiced. Think about that for a minute. Man, I used to sell tile. Come on, musicians. I used to sell flooring for a living, and I was on the road. And I walked in, and I'm not stupid. I walked in, and this guy comes up to me, and he starts talking to me, and I just want to know his story. I want to know his story. You ever seen somebody, you just pass them on the street and they make you nervous? Nobody? Yeah, you ever just been walking along and you see somebody and you're just like, hey, I don't know about that guy. Like, honey, come this way. Come this way. You ever done that? Anybody ever done that? Man, when I walked in, I was like, man, the first thing that came to my mind was, I'm pretty sure he's a Muslim. That's back when, you know, all the stuff was going on. And I walked in. I was sitting there talking to him, and we kept talking back and forth. And I had to ask him. I don't even know how I got to this question. But I said, man, do you practice Islam? He said, oh, no, my brother. I said, you don't? He said, no. He said, I used to be a Muslim. He said, but then I met the Jesus. The Jesus. He said, once you meet the Jesus, you can't be a Muslim anymore. I said, so you know the Jesus? Man, I started feeling good about the guy. You know the Jesus? I know the Jesus. So we had conversations about the Jesus. But let me tell you what happens, though. You look at certain people in certain ways, and you say, ah, man, there's an old crackhead. Why don't the love of God witness to him? Brother Eddie, I don't know if you noticed or not, but I purposely did not avoid. Sometimes there's people and you're going to see them in certain places and you purposely avoid them. You ever been there? I mean, I don't want to listen to it today. I just ain't got time for it. I ain't got time for it. And there's this fella I know, and Kevin, I usually just try to avoid him. And I seen him coming. I said, take it, Damon. Take it. Just take it. And I took it. I talked for a long time. Long time. Well, he talked for a long time. I listened. When are we going to let the love of God really reach out through us, even when it's a sacrifice?
Amen.
Because that's what love does. It sacrifices. I don't want to just do acts of love. I really want to have love working through me. Because if love never fails, then it will accomplish. So I said, God, I'm praying for 100 souls this year. Am I praying so that people will say, hey, God answered his prayer? Or am I praying because I really would like to see 100 people saved and brought into your kingdom? What's my motivation? What's my motivation? What's motivating me? I'm going to tell you what's motivating me. I love him because he first loved me. man, he put something in me. The guy you see before you right now is not the same guy I was before I met Jesus. The Jesus. Once you meet the Jesus, man, everything changes. Everything changes. Do you love him? Do you love him? Dave asks us that all the time, but do we really love him? Because if we love him, we're going to serve him. And if we're going to serve him, things are going to flow through us, and the love of God is going to be shed abroad in our hearts. Man, we're talking about Christian character. We're talking about being a Christian, being Christ-like. Hey, sometimes you got to tell them like it is. I understand that. Sometimes you got to say, hey, that's not right. You're going to go to hell. I love you so much, I got to tell you. But then there's other times when you just got to sit and listen and just love people. Amen. 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 As we sing this song, would you worship together one more time? We're going to let you go. God, check my motives. Examine me, Lord. Examine me. God, I don't want any vain glory, Lord. I'm not seeking after things for our flesh to be exalted. But God, we pray it every week, Lord. Move in a way that only you can so you'll be lifted up. But God, we know you want to move through us, Lord. You want to move through us. Help us, Lord, find a way to touch a life in your name. In the name of Jesus.
All I have in these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on your altar again, set me on fire.